You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Celtics post-game show. Celtics lose to the Lakers in a game that didn't feel that close, Bobby.
Second half, certainly no. The disappointing thing is I thought you started this game so much better than the Lakers did. Set an early tone and just completely let the tenor of the game swing in the Lakers' direction drastically. And I thought it was physicality. I thought it was toughness, determination, and sort of intangible things that
there was some
concerning.
There was some, I think, on top. I mean, I hate to play the make miss league game over and over and over again, but the last three games have really been an example of it with Utah and what happened in the last game. And then tonight, Celtics just had no secondary scoring beyond Jason Tatum, and it was a problem. These are the nights where you're like, oh, that's why it's super important to have Jaylen Brown out there, because on a night Schroeder didn't get it going, they really didn't have anybody to create a second offensive option there. And they tried everything. Richardson tried to get stuff going a little bit. Schroeder again was cold from the field, but got to the free throw line. Rob did tremendous things. But again, Rob's a guy you're setting up for baskets. He's not creating his own offense. And nothing else. They tried Nesmith for periods. They tried Romeo. Just nobody could get anything going offensively. That third unit, they looked like they were just stuck in mud there. They weren't getting quality shots. And that's where the game got away from them.
Yeah, let's start with Schroeder, because this is where we're going to disagree. I didn't love the game he had.
Again, it's not a matter of disagreeing. You have good games and bad games. This was a game where his shots didn't fall. He wasn't able to get to the rim as easily. But, I mean, I think, what did he end up with? 6 field goal attempts?
Yeah, he settled on a few early.
He took a couple threes, and he took a couple jumpers early. He wasn't getting downhill, but he still got, 12 free throw attempts?
Yeah, and it was, he hit them. Other guys didn't, I thought, in this one. Looking at the final line on him from the line there, I think it was 8 of 10, and then everybody else shot. I'm not even going to do the math on the fly, but it wasn't a great free throw shooting game. So, some good things from him. Again, this is the balance you're playing with him, is that he gives you aggression and offense that you need when it's not coming from other places. But other times, going downhill in the traffic, taking some ill-advised shots.
But he didn't do it much. That's the whole point. He took only 6 shots. He missed 3 threes, and that's it. It wasn't like ill-advised. He just didn't have a good offensive game. It wasn't one of those games where he was just getting by people. Another miss was on that little show me fake. That he missed a bunny. He just wasn't able to get where he wanted to go, and he wasn't able to get into the paint shot off. Right.
I guess some of the other things too, I just didn't love about his game, and this one was the pacing at times, just playing a little slow when it seemed like the Celtics want to speed it up there. He had a strong start with 5 assists in that first quarter, needed someone to really settle the offense down later in the game. And, Tatum was pretty bad in that regard. Smart had his worst game in a while here, and Schroeder didn't step up as the steady hand that they needed. Not that that's his job per se. I think he is the one to be aggressive, take the risk and score. But on a night where no one's filling that gap, I'm trying to think of what loss this reminded me of from earlier in the year, where just nobody stepped up as the point guard in this one. Guys were looking for their shot. Tatum had an excellent scoring game. Smart was just a mess offensively outside of some good passing to Rob, I thought. And Schroeder was looking for his shot too, but nobody really connected things here, especially on the break. I thought they were a mess trying to go out and transition, even though the Lakers turned it over a million times. And that was the difference in this game. I mean, Russell Westbrook just commanded a dominant fast break effort that no one on the Celtics could match. I mean, you had offensive fouls on the run in this one as Boston, throwing passes away right when you got steals. That was the difference in this one to me. And it's so disappointing that this one becomes a blowout because, again, you started this much better than them. The Lakers were a relative mess from the field early on outside of LeBron. Davis was slow. Westbrook didn't score for the first 10 minutes of the game. And you essentially just get run out of the gym in that second half. You got to be better at the transition defense.
Tatum didn't have help. Tatum had a good game. They just didn't have any help offensively. You know.
Yeah, Grant was awful in this one.
Everybody. Grant didn't have a good game. Schroeder wasn't able to be a force offensively. And then there's just nothing else behind them. You know, there was just nothing there. It just was one of those games. Al was quiet, you know.
Al missed a few tough ones. They got him some good looks.
He missed a bunch of open threes, and it is what it is. Just on the whole, 10 of 33 from three-point land, and that was, you know, a story where they just, like I said, they just weren't really knocking down any of their shots tonight. I mean, Grant,
again,
was a non-factor. Minus 21 in 13 minutes. Really didn't do much offensively. I had that big block of Davis. Obviously, that was his highlight of the night. Neesmith, a little bit of energy late, but when it didn't really matter. Again, you could see they were, you know, they went to Pritchard early. I know people will talk about the garbage time lineup that they had there with Ime waving the white flag with 5 minutes left, but Pritchard came in to start the fourth. They were looking for offense anywhere.
Neesmith came in pretty shortly after, too. Yeah
it was obvious Ime was looking for offense somewhere because he wasn't getting it other places. And that was, I think, why he tried those guys. It didn't really turn into much. Again, you're just not getting it. They even said it on the broadcast. Van Gundy said it. They're, you know, what we've been saying for years, but they're looking for impactful minutes from one of those guys. And again, you play Romeo 16 minutes. Do you remember any of them? You know, no.
I think he had like one basket. I remember
he had a couple. He missed a bunny early, hit his next two. One was on a little cut where he was under the basket there. And then, you know, Pritchard comes in and he's friggin' had a bunch of open threes and he's knocked down 2 of 5, but just, you're just dying for a contribution from any of those guys and you're just not getting them. And it is what it is.
I think you ran into
Bobby missed her friggin' victory lap prediction here. You know, Celtics win easily.
Listen, the one I gave the Pats was probably more important anyway, so every streak's got to end.
Yeah, I know.
We come on this show and talk about the game. I mean, what happens here? This is what we get into with Schroeder. This is what we get into with Schroeder, too. Like, I like the season Schroeder's having when he gives up some live ball turnovers and it takes some ill-advised shots that I don't love and doesn't command a good offense. Like
he didn't do anything wrong tonight. He had 5 assists in the first quarter.
None after that.
I know, but I mean, we're talking that he had most of his misses in the first quarter. He just wasn't enough of a factor. We want to update a couple people here. Joe Sway is in LA. Jimmy Toscano's lubing up right now. He might jump on later. Sherrod's also in LA. We're gonna hold the line for a little while till those guys join us.
John's always leaving the door open for Jimmy.
Door's always open for Jimmy. He knows he can come. Though I got a quick trigger. Why are people so mad at Ime tonight?
Can you guess? The guy he left on the bench, right? I mean, that's what I would have guessed it is. There's probably several reasons, but I was shocked that they left Enes Freedom on the bench for almost all of this game. You kind of had a sense that things would reel in a little bit because of Al coming back and Rob being out there this time around. But Enes played so well in this matchup the first time, didn't he? And, you know, played well against the size of Philadelphia. And let's just face it, the overall production he's putting out there, you can't deny it. On Clean the Glass, he is in the 100th percentile of on-off guys. He is the best on-off player in the NBA right now. You can talk about short minutes, matchups, blah, 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 whatever you want to do there, but it's impressive nonetheless. And to not use him at all tonight, maybe a tough matchup, maybe you're worried about the defense there, but they played bad defense in this one anyway, and you needed some cleanup garbage buckets. That's what he's been giving you. I thought you messed with a good thing there in terms of leaving him on the bench. Now, I don't know whose minutes he would have taken. Probably go Horford in this one. I didn't think Horford was that great. You know, you probably need to tap into that offense that Freedom can give you a little bit earlier. I don't know. Is that what the commenters are mad about?
I don't know what they're mad about. I don't think Ime did anything wrong tonight. I think, again, there's no reason to overreact to things. We make it, you know, we make it more complicated sometimes than it needs to be. This was just simply a door. I'm reading a comment. This is just simply a game where nobody had it going for the Celtics, and they literally just couldn't get anything going offensively outside of Tatum. And that's it. I don't think there's much more to the game. LeBron was on point, and he had a really good game. The last time they faced him was his first game back. He was operating at about 50%. It looked like he was done playing by the half anyway. So it was a different team here. It was paced by LeBron. It's still the Lakers. It's still LeBron James. And they just, that was it. The Celtics.
There's an intangible to what they do, too. I thought that was really the difference in this one. Like, that championship switch just kind of turned on for them. You see the little things they do, like, you know, putting Russ on Rob. I mean, he just completely shut him off the offensive boards, boxing him out. I thought some of the things they did on offense were interesting down the stretch there. But really, you've got to put up more resistance on the fast break. That play where Rush was like high stepping it from basket to basket, no one got in his way. He just kind of made a fool out of you in that third quarter. And I thought Smart made a few plays early on to show some resistance on those transition runs, but you hate to lose a game just by getting out running. I think that's essentially what happened here. But, you know, but for all intents and measures, I thought
Outrun, but yeah, I mean, they got bullied. They got beat up inside. The points in the paint was pretty significant. I think it was 66 points in the paint, 18 second chance points for the Lakers. They got beat up a little bit in this game.
Rebounding too. Yeah, 63 Lakers rebounds.
The rebounding killed them. So the Lakers were physical, and they beat them up inside. And the Celtics, like I said, didn't. Lakers amped up the defensive pressure. You could see a little bit in the third, those possessions, the Celtics really had to work for it. They were not getting quality shots there. And like I said, that's definitely where the game got away from them.
And we talked a little bit over the last couple of games, how the little things were mattering for the Celtics in terms of just grabbing extra possessions, maybe stealing some turnovers that they threw away back in that Utah game, and just chasing every single shot that they can get. I mean, they produced 10 more shots than Utah in that game. And here, I thought the Lakers just cut off all of those things. Yeah. Like, Rob gets that put back in the second quarter. You don't see anything like that again after that. I thought they sealed off that pick and roll that they were running with him early and didn't allow him to go over the top like he was in the early portion of the game. And that's probably the one good thing you're going to pull from this is they unlocked Rob a little bit. You started to see like last year.
Well, and I want to get into that because it's funny because I got commenters coming at me about Rob tonight. But actually, watching Rob tonight proves my point. But let's get into that a little bit more with Sherrod Blakely, who's joining us from L.A. The surgeon. Did they make did they supply you with that mask? Or you?
Oop. Whoa.
Can you hear me?
Careful hands there, doctor.
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, we hear you perfectly. Dr. Blakely, yes.
Yes, well, you know, somebody was getting operated on tonight, damn it. And I will
I have a feeling this is going to be a disgusted reaction by Sherrod. This is going to be one of those, the head rubs there. Here we go.
Here's my biggest issue. You were executing exceptionally well right out the gate. Everything was falling. And then you never got back to where you were. I didn't hear you guys. I just caught the tail end when you guys were talking about Rob, and I still can understand how they were able to just literally obliterate him for three quarters of play after he was incredibly effective and efficient with just running the floor, just catching lobs, just doing those things. When I look at this game, the one player I would say that probably I think was the biggest disappointment if you're the Boston Celtics was Dennis Schroeder. His impact.
That's where we started. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't impact the game.
No. He did, unfortunately, in a bad way. He was just a non-factor. And I mean, I get it. The crowd was on him pretty good. when he was out there. But damn, I mean, he was brutal tonight. This was one of the worst games he's had as a Celtic. And his numbers, they don't reflect how bad he was. I mean, I think he had like 5 assists.
He had them all early.
Right. He was horrible.
I felt the same way, Sherrod. Like, he just did not command.
I just thought he was a non-factor. I didn't think he was horrible. Horrible would be if he was just holding onto the ball forever and just hunting shots and not getting things and taking bad shots. I just didn't think he just didn't impact the game at all.
At all. At all. And you know, we've been spoiled, let's be honest, by his
play. We've seen bad Dennis. I didn't think this was bad Dennis. This was blah Dennis. Bobby's on your side. To me, he was just
a
non-factor.
Someone to run the offense here, and he was chasing points. It's great, but that wasn't enough in this one. You needed guys to start connecting, making the Lakers work a little bit defensively. And you're just giving them too many turnovers. That was Tatum's problem more than Schroeder's here. A
couple lazy ones from Tatum.
Yeah, those plays where you just go downhill in the traffic, and Schroeder did it against Gobert in Utah. He does this at times where it's just kind of a black hole, and you love it sometimes.
But Tatum did that.
And those sort of things.
Tatum did that a ton, though. After Tatum's hot start, the next quarter and a half, he was just dribbling to nowhere, and would look up and realize he was trapped, and he was throwing the ball away. You know, so he got himself into some trouble there too. I think that hot start is always, it's a good and bad thing for him, because then he's like, I can do anything, you know. And you know, he definitely, he came back strong in the second half, but second quarter, a lot of the third quarter, Tatum kind of disappeared.
Yeah,
he ends up having a big scoring night though, and carrying the offense, so I guess you give him an excuse in that sense. I felt like they pressed Schroeder though with bringing the ball up, doing the things a point guard needs to do in this one. And after the first quarter, the distribution just wasn't there from him. You know, you couldn't get other guys going on the break. You couldn't execute the break at certain points in this one. And again, you had all the turnovers you need. The Lakers were incredibly sloppy here for the whole game. I don't think their turnovers ever really slowed down here, and that fourth quarter didn't really matter. You just had no one to push it up. I'm not calling out Schroeder in particular.
No, but that's what I don't get is, if you went down the line, and this is, it, to me, it's always
a matter of Smart too.
Smart didn't have a good game. That's the whole thing. Is like Schroeder has such a target on his back. I end up defending him when I also agree he didn't have a great game. I find it so strange that he's the first person people pick on when Marcus also had a bad game, you know, and really didn't do anything. And, you know, looked like he was hunting for fouls late in the game as well. Didn't do a great job running the offense, didn't get people involved a ton, you know, in it either. He didn't have a terrific game. You know, Grant was bad, you know, for whatever.
Grant was really bad.
Yeah. Al didn't make a huge impact. There's a lot of regulars tonight who didn't make an impact at all or were downright bad. I just find it strange that Schroeder's the guy we center in on. He's become
I think
such
there's
a,
just a great I just think there's a
he's such a lightning rod these days.
Yeah, that's part of it. The defense is part of it in a game like this, I think. And then I think when you look at him, Tatum, Smart, the three guys you lean on for ball handling and facilitating here, I think Schroeder left you with the most what could have been. You know, like Smart did a lot of good things with Rob in the pick and roll, you know, led the team in assists. Tatum gave you all that scoring. It was like, what was Schroeder's big contribution here? Like, there wasn't much. Sorry, some early assists and some free throws. So it just wasn't an outstanding game by a player who has built a high bar here, John. I mean, come on, let's be serious. He's played better than this. The bar for him is up closer to 20 points and, you know, overall better.
Yeah, you're used to it. He averages 18 points a game. You expect him to go out there and score. He just didn't have a great night. Again, got to the free throw line. And was able to do a little bit of damage there, but beyond that, again, not much.
I just don't know who else you look at here. Like, you can nitpick Tatum's game.
I'm looking at the whole, again, in my one sentence recap, you know, it would be Tatum can't do it alone as Lakers, you know, bully Celtics. That's it. That's the headline. Like, it was it.
Yeah,
it was it. It's one of those games. Like, someone's asking, like, I'm not mad. They had a bad game. Nobody played. Nobody, except for Rob Early, nobody outside of Tatum showed up.
What killed, too, is when Tatum was destroying the Lakers early and you know, Russ and Davis were dead. LeBron was right there with Tatum. It was quiet, but he just kept piling on the makes, keeping it a one possession game, and didn't allow Tatum to create any separation there early. Tatum slows down a little bit into the second quarter, and you know, the Lakers jump on it from there.
Yeah. If you want me to get mad about one thing, it was this thing, by the way. The friggin' giggle fest with LeBron and the Celtics bench. Leave it alone, for the love of God. I don't want to see that ever.
All the young guys and Freedom.
And Jaylen standing up. Oh, come on.
What happened
don't
to
do
the,
that.
What happened to the Freedom LeBron beef? It was like one liner. Put it away.
Ugh, God. All right, the Garden Report postgame show, as always, is brought to you by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Just go to betonline.ag, use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We've got it all going right now. You got basketball, hockey, NFL football, NCAA football, horses, MMA, golf. Is there still golf? If there isn't, there will be. There's always golf.
There's always some kind of golf.
Props, live betting, all kinds of weird stuff. Outside of the sports realm, anything you want to, you know, place a bet on.
Yep.
BetOnline's got it. BetOnline.ag. Code CLNS50. 50% welcome bonus. Go check it out right now. And as always, make sure to gamble responsibly. Hate that.
Sherrod, I want to know what he said.
Me too. Sherrod, any other observations from there?
Oh, gosh. I haven't heard all that you guys have talked about. But, the one thing that, that no one is really talking about, only because it's just us in the media, but we all know how Cedric Maxwell feels about the Lakers.
Yeah.
We all know how James Worthy feels about Cedric Maxwell and the Lakers. No disrespect, but James Worthy has been talking more shit than I've seen any ex-NBA player talk about a game that they had absolutely nothing to do with in a long time. I sent Joe Sway some of the video that I saw because he's been on here. And I mean, he's got the cigar, like literally lit up on camera, like lit that shit up on camera. And it's just absolutely giving Cedric the riot act. It's just absolutely hysterical to see beef that is fucking decades old.
Yeah.
Come to life.
It doesn't go anywhere. Yeah.
No. I mean, that again, part of the sideshow between the Lakers and the Celtics. But bottom line is, this was a bad game for the Celtics. I mean, we're talking about different players and things of that nature. But overall, this was just a bad game for them.
It's a bad game.
And the way that they have been playing, they were due to have a game like that. Yeah. But the point that Bobby made earlier, and I think it's true, the Lakers did enough dumb things early on, where the Celtics were like basically a 2 to 3 minute really good run from possibly getting this thing under control and not allowing the Lakers to just kind of pull away the way they did. But again, I mean, I'm not like, and as far as like Dennis Schroeder is concerned, he's changed the calculus by which we judge him now by his play. Before,
that's why he was kind
of, yeah. And that to me is why I think that there's more talk about his play, because he's been so damn good. And he's been so incredibly consistent like the last couple of weeks that to see him play the way he did tonight was just a little bit jarring. But we know with Marcus Smart, Marcus, I mean, up and down Dow Jones average, some nights really great, other nights not. But the effort is always going to be great. But obviously this wasn't a night that was enough. And then, as you guys mentioned earlier about Rob, I loved his game early on. I loved what I was seeing. And just to see it just kind of poof, disappear, very frustrating.
That's a bummer too. And it's, again, it's, the reason I wanted to get into Rob a little bit was, again, people are in my timeline like, oh, does he look springy enough for you, John? And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, this looks like Rob from last year. At the beginning of the season, it did not look like Rob from last year. Are you telling me you can't see about a foot's worth of vertical difference in the way he's jumping, just where he's catching the ball? Again, any lob or any dunk or any play that he had above the rim early in the year was barely above the rim. We're watching him get blocked on some attempts. And now he's catching balls with his head at the rim and ducking under it to slam it, doing it with the left hand.
Huh?
He'd had a couple of those. The one he almost put down on Davis with the left that he got fouled on was insane. And just the coordination, the agility to catch, I mean, little teeny things too. That play, and I'll give credit to Tatum on a secondary assist when he got trapped, hit smart with that cute little bounce.
The hockey assist.
Smart with that cute little bounce pass to Rob, who caught it in the lane and goes and hits the shot and gets fouled. How many bigs catch that pass? His
hands
cute.
Were great. Yeah, that one from
so
Smart.
Good. In a tight space, a lead pass with him running towards the basket to catch
Davis
it down
right
low
there.
And to turn and bang right there with a big guy right in front of you is insane coordination and hands for a big guy. And so when you see that stuff, you're like, that's the magic. That's the stuff we saw last year. And you're like, oh, my God, this guy has to play 30 minutes a night. Why is he only playing 17 or 18? He wasn't that guy at the beginning of this year. But again, poof, it was gone. You know, he was a jaw-dropping difference maker in the first half, and then he just kind of went away. And yeah. And again, I understand, you know, they make some switches and this and that, but like, you know, throw it up to the big fella. You know, it's just like you gotta look for him. You get the ball in his hands, good things happen. He was great. He was great for those, you know, and certainly for the first half.
Yeah, makes you wonder where that's been for sure. And I don't think it's just the physical factor that you point to there. I think it's a matter of Smart being the only guy that can get it to him, really. You know, Schroeder threw one to him early on, but Smart seems to be the only guy that's consistently connected and can run that pick and roll with him. You know, Schroeder's not a tremendous pick and roll point guard. Tatum scores well out of it, doesn't really find guys in that set there. You know, they certainly miss Kemba in that regard, you know, to bring his name up. He was so good at running those plays. So you're left with Smart as kind of a low usage point guard, left with few opportunities to find him. And frankly, you should be running that Rob play just about every single time.
I don't
at
get
least
it.
The leverage it creates because you don't have the shooting.
We talked about the gravity, you know, that term, we love it, you know, whatever you want to call
and
it.
And minutes, too. You know,
the roll gravity, like, that stuff is real, especially after he's boofed a couple on you, like, that big. And then every time that he comes and he sets those screens, everybody's like, I don't want that to happen again. It creates space. Like, you should be running those things all the time. It is very strange when they go away from it. I don't know why you wouldn't do that more. He's out there. Just run it.
And it's what he does as good as anyone in the league. And when you have a guy that has a skill that sets them apart from the masses, you got to milk that, particularly when you don't have a roster that has that luxury of going to a guy like that. I mean, it's not like you've got three. It's not like you're Brooklyn where you've got like three of the top 10 players in NBA on your team where you don't have to necessarily go to a certain player's go-to strength. You need that with Rob. You're right. Not going to have any shot of being in top four, top five in the East if you don't start maximizing what Rob does well.
Especially
knowing that you may or may not have him for the next game or the next game because you just literally have no idea how his body is going to respond from one game to the next. So when you have him on the floor, you got to get the most out of him.
Well, yeah, and Sherrod, that's an excellent point because it's, you know, it's again, we talk about generally speaking, like what is this team about, you know, and it's hard to really say, you know, when they're playing good defense, you can say, okay, it's a team that's what, you know, but we haven't fully developed an identity, but you don't have a lot of like things that stand out on your team. You're not filled with shooters. You don't have big bangers. You don't have a point guard who can do it all. But what you have is the magic of Jason Tatum, you know, and him able to create his own offense. You have Jaylen Brown when you have Jaylen Brown, and you've got Rob, who's a thing that most teams don't have, and most teams don't really have answers for. You can't defend a guy that's a foot above you, you know, like you can't defend something up there. And that's just what he does. It's a unique skill set and one of the few difference makers on the team and differentiators for that team. So you're right. Part of it is, you know, he goes out there and you're like, how in the world did he touch the ball only twice tonight? We know he doesn't have face up moves or post moves, but you've got to be looking to utilize that more, recognizing what else. We've talked about this with Bobby. What do you want to do? You want to be that team that whips the ball around the perimeter and shoots 43s, but only shoots 32% from three? We've seen that. You know, I've seen that movie. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah. And you can't
Yeah.
This is just a general conversation too, because they did it tonight. You know, like this is what you actually want to see.
No, you want to see more of it. It's a general conversation of this is you want to unlock Rob. You know, it sucks that you saw so much of it in the first half and not at all in the second. So it's the more Jekyll and Hyde sort of, you know, tale of two halves. But generally speaking, it's more of a referendum or a critique of how little they have done it throughout the year this year when it is really something that helps separate them. And some he's a guy who's consistently making a difference. Tonight was a weird one, you know, for him too.
Yeah. And you were looking for some defense too. Like this is a guy who crashes the offensive boards. I don't think that was working in terms of stopping the transition defense. It was interesting, you know, mixing in Neesmith with the starters there and Rob on the bench and the other guys out there, actually the best unit for the Celtics in this one. A little bit of spacing, a little bit of aggressiveness from him. So, you know, for all the Neesmith lovers who want to see him get mixed in a little bit here, I think he showed you something on this trip to start. Pritchard making some shots down the stretch. That's maybe something you start to implement a little bit more as you experiment here.
Try to
go away from that double big a little bit because that was a disaster in this one.
Try it. I wouldn't be against it.
I just like the fact that the young guys –
I thought Neesmith looked awesome again. Yeah.
Well, they're making the most of their minutes, and that's how you get more minutes. And I don't understand why that's such a difficult concept.
Was Richardson on ice the whole second half?
I like it. Yes, after most some good minutes in that first half too.
Yeah, he was one of the few guys that was actually making some shots after Tatum.
What happened there though? What did he do something to get benched?
I don't
keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I mean, he may have with these guys and injuries. I mean, it's crazy with them. You just never know. But he was good. I mean, I thought in the first half he did a lot of good things with them. I thought his defense wasn't too bad. He was knocking down, you know, a couple shots when they were there. He was playing his role, and that's the thing about him that I've liked for the most part. The role that they need him to play, he's done it, and he's done it at a fairly high level. He's never going to be, you know, a Steph Curry type shooter. He's not going to be a Marcus Smart lockdown defender, but he is a guy that's shown the ability to knock down a wide open mid-range shot. He has shown the ability to defend multiple positions. And if you're the Celtics, you like that. But he, like so many of these guys on this team, his health is an issue every single game. You just don't know. You don't feel confident that he's going to be healthy enough to go from one game to the next.
He's kind of had a weird one, right? Because it was sickness, it was migraine, it was that kind of stuff. So
let me ask you,
he did have a physical one mixed in there too. But 11 points in 15 minutes, you're right, Zanis, not Richardson. He's not here. that was a good start from him, and you do wonder where he went. That's a great observation.
Hey, Sherrod, let me ask you a quick question. Why do you think right now people in the chat are lighting up Ime? What is it Ime did tonight that you think is
I went with freedom, Sherrod.
Upsetting people. I don't think people get that mad about Ennis.
They're actually probably happy to see him on the bench.
I think with Ime, it's more than anything else. He takes chances with different rotations, and they don't work. I mean, you go with Richardson, he looks like he's doing well, and then you go away from him, and you don't make a change that makes the team better. You don't make a change that kind of flips the script a little bit. Tatum had it going on early on, and then he hit that lull. One of the things that Ime is still trying to figure out is when they hit the wall, how do I get them back on that treadmill and pick up when they were playing well? I still think he struggles at times to figure out the right combinations of players. You know, this was a game, for example, where you had Grant Williams out there, I thought, way too much. Grant was brutal. Defensively, when he's switched out there and he finds himself having to guard Russell Westbrook, that's never going to end well. Here's the problem. The problem with that is he actually tries to like get up on Russell a little bit, and that's just why. If he's behind the 3-point line, you don't. The step that you take is one towards the rim, not towards him.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing right now, John. It's just video after video of Russ turning the jets on and just torpedoing past Richardson. So that was probably the end of.
No, I know. Night. Yeah,
they allowed him to get going, and that's the problem because, you know, you want him to be a jump shooter as much as possible, and they did early on all those
bricks on the wide open shots.
Yeah, we're gonna bring Josue on in a minute. I just need a thumbs up that he's good to go. And he's going to join us from LA as well. There's Joe Sway. What's up, kid?
What's going on? That was a quick intro. I thought I had more time than you. What's going on?
No. You've been fiddling there, but I was like, yeah, we got to give the people what they want. Look at these courtside seats here. Freaking Jack Nicholson, Ben Affleck,
J-Lo.
Ben Affleck didn't like my Google Hunting lines. He wasn't into it.
No? Best seat in the house right there.
It's interesting because after they put him on this big screen, I felt like everyone just sort of, well, obviously there was a lot of ovation, but then the Lakers just closed the door on the Celtics. I don't think there's any relation to that, but I just think the way it is in here with the celebrities and stuff, like that celebrity couple right next to the Lakers. Oh, man. Look, I thought the Celtics in the second half, you look at their approach and it was just the offense just ran dry. Like it got to the point where the defense couldn't sustain anymore. And they were running at, there weren't guys that could score essentially. I love to see Josh Richardson attack the rim the way he did in the first half. You know, Neesmith hit a shot coming in, but like when you have to rely on those guys or those type of guys against the Lakers, like regardless of what the record says, like these are the type of guys, and look, and they proved it, right? Whether it was bully ball, whether it was just clamping down when it mattered most after Jason Tatum scored 14 points in that first quarter, like it was just that muscle memory veteran, you know, we're going to snatch this away from you and what are you going to do about it approach. And the Celtics just didn't have a response offensively. And I felt like on defense, they just started to deteriorate as their confidence was just wasn't there on the offensive end.
Yeah, I don't know. Like if we go around the horn here, was it offense? Was it defense? I feel like this was a defense one.
I think they ran out of offense. I mean,
nobody outside of Tatum could score.
Go off, but it just didn't happen.
Nobody.
Yeah, I thought it was the offense.
They were bucket for bucket with them for 2.5 quarters here, and then all of a sudden you just let the Lakers run out uncontested the way they did. You got to have some more pride, just in
I know,
sense,
but
transition defense. Because again, you had a close game. Maybe you lose by a couple buckets.
Again,
on some bad
you
offense.
Make more baskets. You're not stuck in transition, and that's really what it comes down to. I just think that was it. They just didn't make enough shots. They didn't have any semblance of an offense in that second half. Really, in that third quarter, that's where the game got away from them. That was it.
There were a lot of issues here. I just think
they didn't play perfect,
the
but they played
in the third was bad.
They went punch for punch in the first
half. Yeah, but John. Rob, in that first half, by your standards, that's damn near perfect, right?
That's what we just went through the whole thing. I was like, that half is what you want to see, what we've been waiting to see, and what I was, you know, why was I freaking out early in the offseason, you know, in the preseason of early in the year? We didn't see even one of those types of plays. He just wasn't doing it. You know, he wasn't
especially
doing
against
that.
Someone like Anthony Davis. Like.
But this, I mean, he was – Anthony Davis, I – like – Anthony Davis was getting work. I mean, Rob was going up and over him.
Anthony's like, who is this guy? Like, what the
I remember Jimmy was in the locker room with me. I remember when Davis was with the Pelicans, Rob might have been in his rookie year or second year. And you know, Davis is at the height of his powers. And you guys remember this game at the Garden? Davis posted up and Rob blocked him twice. Okay.
Yeah,
with New Orleans.
And it was in New Orleans.
And he looked up like,
I was in the locker room and I asked it. I went in just to ask Davis that question. And I was like, hey, you know, Rob, you know, he got you a couple of times. Were you surprised? He's like, yep. You know, he's like that guy. He was like, that guy can get up. It was a really good answer.
His eyebrows went up too.
Yeah.
Right. His eyebrow.
Big,
the one
big
brow.
Rainbow. Yeah.
No, it was an arc. One big arc.
one big arc.
Oh man, I missed
the
Orleans,
I remember
Davis.
I went into that locker room just to ask him that, and I was like, what'd you think of that? And he's like, that guy gets up, man. He can friggin' he gets off his feet quick.
I swear he forgot about that. I did not think I could get that
shot blocked, and he did. So he got a taste of Rob early. I remember that little exchange, and this time he was looking up at him, you know. I mean, he was up and over.
And I thought Ime positioned him nicely in this one, right? I mean, before the game, you know, Sherrod, you were there talking about how he can expand his offensive game and that, you know, that's something that he knows that, you know, Rob has in him. And then you go out and you get, you know, two lobs against someone like Anthony Davis. Like, talk about a confidence booster. But I don't know. I just felt like after halftime, it was sort of that. I don't want to say the Celtics reverted to bad habits, but I just feel like they just didn't have –
They did revert back to bad habits. And they had this bad habit of not being able to milk something that's working
for more than a quarter or a quarter and a half. That's a bad habit. When you have something like, I mean, look, we just saw damn Bill Belichick basically call one freaking play for the entire damn game. And lo and behold, it worked. It worked. Now,
we need to build a helicopter in and call Rob pick and roll every single play, first to fourth.
It worked. If not, he'd get into the free throw line. They were pissed. Am I the only one? Because Rob was sitting, like, we were sitting one row apart. It felt like I felt the vibe around the arena, or at least our section was just like, who's this? It could have been the Rob game.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, there was a lot of like.
I heard one guy behind me being like, but that Anthony Davis? Like, they didn't know who this guy. Like, they weren't sure about it, you know?
Because, I mean, the first one where Schroeder just threw the lob, and Anthony Davis was just like in the wrong place at the wrong time and just got booped on. It was just like, whoa. You know that weird kind of low key, like, ooh,
yeah,
that crowds have? That's what happened. Right. And I'm thinking, like, this is something that you need to keep milking. That is as crazy as it sounds, forcing Anthony Davis to have to defend above the rim, that's hard with a guy like Rob. He's so damn athletic. And he clearly had his, jumping shoes on tonight because he was way above in the first half.
Well, Joe Sway, you were there. Different LeBron, I thought, than the one we saw last time, obviously coming off the injury. John didn't like the joking with the bench. I don't know if you saw that. You know, him running up the floor after the Schroeder call.
I don't like it either, John.
He kind of took over the energy of this game in many ways.
I don't like seeing that either. I just don't. I think
not
this, I think
in the game.
Yeah, there, if
it's bad enough after, in the game is terrible.
Yeah.
I wonder what he said.
Does the Freedom have to have a conversation with him? Like, what happened to that? Like,
Freedom was giggling.
So he's not mad at him anymore? He's over it?
The one line I got him, it was. I am dying.
How upset are you in
this?
Explain yourself. Like, I don't know.
He could have only... that little exchange could have only been 2-3 words. They must have been a good few words. Like, it better have been. At least if it was a great joke, then give some leeway there. But, man, he stepped on them. And Russ did, too. And, you know, you've had a Lakers championship core, Russ aside, but he's involved in it now, that I think just turned up the heat and said, we've been getting punked all season. We got punked by this team in the Garden. And we're just going to blast off on them and transition and, you know, out-muscle them in the post. I haven't seen a team get 60 boards on another team in a while. Usually I'm not big on the rebounding battle. I don't think it matters that much. But here, they completely cut off Boston's offensive rebounding, turned that into transition, and just blew through guys on the way to the paint. We just talked about Richardson's failures on the perimeter. Schroeder had an awful game defensively. And, you know, Smart was smart, but kind of gave it away on the other end. Sloppy.
It's true.
You cleaned it up a little bit if you're Boston. This is a much closer game. Played with more poise and just had a floor general out there. That was a topic early on with this team this season. I remember asking Al, like, what do you do? You know, you don't really know who, like, the point guard, the main guy, the main facilitator is on this team. And he kind of admitted that's a challenge. And this is a night where I feel like that was a problem. You didn't have your floor general, the guy that you can look to balance, be the steady hand on the offensive end there. You had three guys and none of them were able to do it. Even Al, you know, Al did some good things in that sense in Utah and thought he had a rough game too here on the offensive end. And Grant, you know, this kind of solidifies your Grant starting case a little bit, John. Again, another game where he comes off the bench, lost.
Well, Grant started that last Lakers game, and he definitely had a rough go of it because he ended up on Davis a little bit. And early in that game, it looked like Davis was going to have 100 points. So I remember it just not being just – I don't think this was a great matchup for him there.
And that happens with him, yeah.
And it happens. You know, it's you have to respect the limitations. I think, again, generally speaking, by default, Grant being one of those guys who is able to knock down some shots, it's not the worst thing in the world to have him out there. And also, when you put him on that second unit, you're not going to get what you get when he's running with the ones because there's nobody's out there giving him the ball. Attention isn't being sucked to other players, thus creating space for him to stand in those threes and make that impact. So he's just not going to have this with the second unit as he is with the first. He's going to have these kind of meaningless minutes.
Yeah, I'm just not thrilled with the rotation right now, and I haven't been for a while.
It's just rough when you've got Al and friggin' Rob together, and then nothing in that, you know, Grant coming in as your big in the second unit or whatever. It's a weird rotation.
That's why, you know, that's where I get him a little bit. Stunned, he didn't play at all in this one, really, Josue.
Josue's giggling over there. I don't know what's going on.
Is LeBron talking to you? Is LeBron, like, making a funny face at you now?
Bobby, how do you not like this? I mean, how do you not mind it?
I actually wanted him in this one. I know I haven't been the biggest fan of him, but you can't argue against how he's played over the last 2 weeks here. So, again, I was throwing the number out there. 100%. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone can like that, especially with the way the game was going at that point. Again, I just think, like, the allure of LA, the muscle of the Lakers, that sort of thing just completely ran Boston over in this one. It was intangible things like the break, the rebounding game, and just the toughness and physicality of 64 points in the paint. At some point, you're just getting run over and you're not responding. You're the Bills on Monday night.
Wow, Bobby, I love the cross sports references.
Yeah. Well done, Bobby. Well done. Well done.
It's the Patriots in good light right there. You know, it's a good one.
I love that. We had a big audience last night. People were geeked about that game. Geeked
that was awesome.
It. Yeah. All right. Well, we've exhausted this game. The Celtics sucked. It was a bad game. It happens. They have another tomorrow against the Clippers. Hopefully a different team shows up. Ime rested the starters a little bit down the stretch there, so we'll see what happens. Jaylen Brown, I'm going to assume, is out. We don't know. We didn't get into Jaylen. I'm not having the Jaylen conversation all over again. So we're going to switch to the other big story of the day-ish, which is the Pacers want to trade everybody. And, what should the Celtics do? And can they get him for this guy? And what if we give him
– Why is Turner in that graphic?
Huh?
Why is Turner in that graphic?
Hey, you know Brown loves
I'm
him.
I'm just saying.
That ship has sailed. They better not trade for Miles Turner.
No. But I'm just saying. So now what are Celtics fans doing? If we give them Nesmith and Pritchard and Richardson and, like, all your garbage and throw in a pick
don't
or two.
Don't you dare touch Jaylen, right?
Yeah. But we're back to this conversation again. Would you trade for Sabonis? Abso-freaking-lutely. If you're the Pacers, does a conversation end when you say you can have anyone but Jaylen? Yes, it probably does. So again, you're right back to square one. The Celtics are not trading a bunch of spare parts for an all-star center forward. Not going to happen. So that's the end of the conversation. Good night. Like, that's it. That's it. That's where it goes. If you don't want to trade Jaylen Brown, there is no trade. That's it. Nobody wants to trade Jaylen for Sabonis, right?
I mean, that's where the conversation obviously starts.
And then there's
the
no trade.
Is,
exactly.
The question is, who does? That's the question I got for Sherrod. I look around.
Sherrod,
the
is the ice
right
cream
now,
truck
and...
coming by?
Yeah,
I wish.
I was like, is that me?
Sherrod is in the Showtime cycle too here. The allure. Sherrod.
I would not do that. It just doesn't make sense in terms of your roster. It doesn't make sense in terms of bang for your buck. I mean, Miles Turner, he's had a great couple of years defensively, but Jaylen is just so much more a complete player. And I do think that ultimately, if let's say you're Indiana.
Yeah, Turner is out of the question. I am in on Sabonis, who I think could connect the Jays a bit here. A phenomenal scorer, playmaker. I think untapped potential in his game from being
the
part
same
of that double
age.
Big
they're
combination
both,
there.
They're both 25 years old.
I think this guy, you haven't even scratched the surface of what he's capable of in the right system, in the right array of offensive talent around him. Again, he's the number one option here in Indiana. He playmakes. He
and
produces his own offense.
Nails.
Yeah, and if you remember a couple of early games, it was like a back-to-back the Celtics had with them, and he was just running the offense down the stretch in crunch time, creating plays where the Pacers beat the Celtics. There, that's where Jimmy fell in love with the Pacers. I actually need him in my corner here to hype up Sabonis, but I think this is the perfect chance to consolidate, and I think there's a bigger opportunity, tell me if I'm wrong, Sherrod, to make a deal without Jaylen here, just because of, I think, the overall value of Rob and what you've built up in him here, the array of picks you have at your disposal, plus the contract.
You don't have an array of picks. You have a bunch of
whose
picks
are you talking about?
You have a bunch
every single one of the Celtics future picks.
That doesn't matter. Everyone's got that. That's the whole thing. You have to look at what the Celtics have that other people don't. They have a bunch of crappy picks, like middle of the first round picks.
And Bobby's trying to give away his spare tire.
And then a bunch of nothings. And the it's the nothings that make this deal impossible. If Aaron Nesmith was somebody else, you might be able to trade him because you might look at that and say, this guy could be potential, you know, who knows what, starter at the very least.
A starter at least.
But you don't have any of that. You have a bunch of guys that you can get anywhere. So the Celtics have nothing to sweeten that deal with.
Nothing? So you're hyping up Rob all show long.
Rob is the only thing you have to sweeten that deal with. But Rob is now a guy making $54 million over 4 years. And what are you going to do? Have Miles Turner and Rob together and trade Sabonis? That doesn't help
you. It doesn't matter. You're just compiling assets if you're Indiana. Here's my thing.
That doesn't help you. That doesn't help you.
Who else in the league is enticing them in this deal? Because to your point, maybe Sabonis doesn't blow you away if you're Boston, but that's sort of a good thing.
No, he does blow me away.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure if this is the OKC situation. I mean, I'm sure it's a rebuild to an extent, but like at the end of the day, they're going to look for someone if not already an all-star on the verge of it. I just think the criteria when you look at the Celtics as players, it's going to be Jaylen Brown. If it's not Jaylen Brown, then I think it would be silly for the Pacers to even consider a trade that's centered around Robert Williams or those pieces that John just mentioned. I mean,
sure,
a good point by John talking about his new contract, but two, I mean, Rob hasn't even proven that he can give you a full season of health, healthier, you know? Like, I don't see that
came up in the Orlando negotiation. Sherrod, who do you think is the favorite to land Sabonis if you had to name one team?
Oh, gosh. At this point, I just think it's too early because I don't think we've seen enough games. I don't think teams have a good enough feel for who they have. I mean, when you look out there and you look at what Sabonis does, I mean, it would have to be a team that's looking to position themselves to take maybe one more step towards a deep playoff run. For example, the Knicks would be a team that would have interest in him. When you look at what he does, you look at his impact.
What are they offering?
See, that's just the thing. I mean, it's not even so much status. What do they have that you would want? That's the question that you need to ask. And that's the issue with a lot of teams. That's the issue with the Celtics.
I think there's one team out there that can surpass the Celtics offer, and it's Philadelphia.
Wait, Bobby, first of all, there is no Celtics offer. That's the whole thing, is the Celtics have the same thing everyone else has, which is their own draft picks, and then nothing else.
That's not good, and that's not attractive.
That's the whole point, is there is no Celtics offer. There actually is nothing other than their draft picks. That's their problem.
It's one player, but it matters. No. That's the centerpiece.
I think John got it right.
Deal.
Do you want to trade Jalen or not? I think that's sort of the conversation.
I think Rob is fine. I think Rob is the guy who sweetens a deal that allows you to trade.
What do you need to get this done? Simmons, certainly. I mean, Indiana wants Simmons.
You're talking
to begin
about
with.
An all-star, and you're going to trade a borderline reserve and a couple middle first-round picks. It's not great value for the Pacers. Like, I like Rob a lot, but, I mean, if you're the Pacers, you're like, I'm getting a guy who plays 25 minutes a night, scores 8 points a game, you know, grabs a couple of boards, that's nice, has some big dunks. But he's not anything established yet, and I got to pay him for 3 more years. And then I get nothing. Like, I don't know that that's enough. Like, if you want a young, up-and-coming potential all-star, something, maybe they view Rob in that light. I don't know. But again,
that's the key.
I don't know. I think the Celtics have what everyone else has, which is just draft picks. And not
I agree
a lot
with
of
Joe
capital.
Sway that you do run into that. You're going to give us Jalen? Or hang the phone up thing. And I think they run into that a lot with the trade discussions. Certainly, because why wouldn't you ask for Jalen if you're one of these teams? I just
you
think this is the situation.
You absolutely have to. Yeah. I mean, you would not be doing your job if you didn't.
I just think this is a situation where, in a very unique circumstance, I don't think there's a great fit for this guy around the league that's not Boston. And Philadelphia is the only one I can think of. And we know where Philadelphia is at with their outrageous imagination of what they think Simmons is going to garner for them eventually. This would be a great asset management play for them. You know, get a guy in Sabonis who can help you now, who you can flip down the line possibly. I don't know if they're going to do it, but if they don't, like Sherrod mentions the Knicks, I mean, I think they're sort of looking at Lillard, waiting on that thing. A lot of teams are. The Celtics,
he was actually here.
You know, they're in a position to consolidate things where I just think this is kind of a no-brainer. You have all this different stuff, and again, you might be right, John. Maybe it's not enough. But do you take that extra step now because this is your chance to? Like, is Beal knocking on that door? Is Levine knocking on that door down the line? This might be the star that's available to you right now that you actually make that aggressive push for. And, you know, maybe the stuff that you have right now outside of Draymond isn't enough, but I'd give it a shot.
If you can get an all-star caliber player for anything not named Jaylen Brown, you absolutely try to push your chips in because you will not have another opportunity if you think that that's important to you. So, yes, if it were a couple of picks and Rob and take your pick of the kids and they would do it, you have to look at it and say, yeah, and that would kill me to get
Rob.
And you're finding a lot of acquire of player of this caliber. And again, when everyone's scrutinizing Sabonis, he can't do this, he can't do that. Nobody's perfect. There's maybe 10 perfect players in 10 players in the league that are above reproach. Everyone else has some warts, even your own stars. Jason Tatum's got them too. So I don't want to hear necessarily about what Sabonis is not. It is a
Josue has been compromised.
Yeah, it's a top tier player. Did the security come and take him away?
I think so. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's where we're at. Sherrod, forget about what it works. How much do you like the player?
You're talking about Sabonis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love him. I mean, he's an ideal big. I mean, a guy that can space the floor with his jump shot. You can put him at the elbow and he can run your offense half court sets. He's a good rebounder. He's physical. He's not afraid to get his, you know, put his nose in there and do some things. And you know, the X factor that doesn't get talked a lot about is his lineage. I mean, his dad, man, passers in the game.
Best passers.
So he has the DNA. Man. He's got the DNA to be an elite player. There's not a lot about his game that surprises anyone, because when you look at how his dad played, it's really his dad only in a lot of ways better.
A modern version of him, pretty much.
I just think it's a great fit too, because you know his weakness is defense. He doesn't have great footwork on that end. There's some canter to him in the pick and roll. So you're going to have to put him in a system that can protect him and play well around him, which we've seen with Enes Freedom. That you can do here, that you can survive with that guy in the lineup when you have good defenders around him. I love the idea of him playing off Horford, those two being able to go back and forth with their passing game. And really, you talk about the Jays connecting. If you have a guy who's running offense out of that big man spot and both the Jays moving off him, that might solve that problem a little bit here. This isn't Ben Simmons in terms of a passer, but you have a guy that can get 4 or 5 assists a game here. I'd love to see him become a little bit of a better shooter to maybe solve some of the spacing issues that you have. You're probably still running a double big lineup at that point. But can this become a bigger deal? You know, you got guys like Torrey Craig in Indiana. You got guy like Jeremy Lamb who's shooting 40% from three. I feel like we're almost back at that Gordon Hayward. I made a joke earlier about that because there's so much on Indiana's roster that would help Boston that you look back on that trade situation there and said would have helped Boston in the aftermath of that. I just think there's so much potential here for these teams to get something done. It's just about how many picks you're willing to put on the table. And I don't even know if John wants to have that conversation because it gets heated. But we're sitting here talking about these picks still that haven't been moved. And I know it's not like win at all costs right now, but if you have an opportunity to consolidate, I don't know to what degree you get aggressive with those, but it's tough. Because again, I said earlier in the year, you start protecting those a little bit now if you're Boston. So I am torn on it.
You are not going to move a player who is an all-star for a bunch of pieces and parts. You're just not going to do that, particularly a young player like Sabonis. There has to be something of significant value that they're getting in return. And when you start looking at this, when you take out Tatum.
Future all-star higher picks.
Yeah,
right.
The best option that you would have is Rob Williams, and you can't really count on that because you don't know if he's going to be able to play from one game to the next. So it becomes extremely difficult to see a scenario where they would have something that you would want, because they have lots of stuff that you want. But what do you have that they would
get? And plus,
that's always guys,
let's face it. Let's face it too. I mean, Bobby, the secret's out. Like the Romeos and the rest of the league knows their pieces are struggling. Like, you know, it's been a couple of seasons now. Yeah. So I think the better question
is the veil has been lifted and it's not pretty.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is an important question, right? I want to ask you all, like, does anyone, I mean, do you guys all have an expiration date for these guys? Look, I'm not trying to get all gloomy or whatever, but realistically, between Tatum and Brown,
yes, you are. You are
their totally expiration date, or do you guys just want to see this thing through until they don't want to play each other? I mean, or this, championship, whichever comes
this
first.
This isn't the guy you give up Brown for.
These guys are expiration date.
It depends.
This is the stuff in the back. Is it the stuff in the back of your fridge when you pull it out and you're like, oh my God, this expired 4 months ago. Like, that's how I feel about the prospects, you know? Like, I didn't know until recently.
And everyone knows about your fridge.
I didn't know until recently that spices expire. And like, I was going through my spice rack and I was like, 2014.
Oh, that's a good point.
I was like, holy crap. I was like, you get this out of here. That's how I feel about our guys right now.
I mean, it is food.
Bad spices in the garlic back.
Powder. Come on, John. Whatever it was. I was like,
garlic powder lasts forever, right? Nope. That shit's stuck to the bottom. It can't
John's like, sweetie, I think this paprika is expired. I didn't know it could do it.
Nope. It's a bonus. 25 signed through 2024. So there is no rush for Indiana to make that move.
You need something real, and you're going to wait it out.
I love how none of you guys answered the question.
So I'll tell you this. I think that I did answer it. They expired a long time ago in my eyes. Not in the sense that they can't be passable, usable pros. The idea of them being stars or starter level guys.
We did the summer league thing. We got so close.
Wait, so you're saying that because so the way I'm understanding it, right, for John is this deal not even he's not worth Jalen's value because you want to see these guys split, but you don't think this is enough. You don't think that's enough value in return.
No, John's talking about the young guys.
I'm talking about our young guys. When you talk about what's their expiration date, they have expired.
Josue's
talking about Jalen and Tatum.
Oh no, I still think you're gonna hang on to that for a bit. I thought you were talking about our young guys. The young guys to me, you're never gonna get anything for them.
But what's your expiration date? You don't have the expiration date for these guys.
For Jalen and Jason?
It's so far away.
No.
I don't think it is, Bobby. The NBA, 2-3 seasons is a whole lifetime for some time.
I mean, that's a long way away.
It's the year before the contract.
One of them is up.
It's the year before the contract.
See, that's when it's too late, Joe. You know?
That's the year. That's when the clock is running. That year where you're like, you're good, right? You know?
Mark my words. Yeah. 2 seasons I'm giving them.
Yeah. This is the tricky spot they're still in, and we've kicked this back and forth. Like, which direction do you go here at this point? Like, I have argued in favor of keeping the picks, sort of riding that thing out because of the value of them. And John's made this point that they're lottery tickets. You know, you never know when a star is going to come at 14 that you can develop and work up. And all of a sudden it's not Nesmith, it's Kawhi Leonard at that place. Maybe Brad's a great drafter and just kills Danny's recent draft.
That's the point.
In terms of what he does to come.
You're much more likely to hit, to cash in a lottery ticket there and have one of those guys turn into a starter caliber player than you are to pull off some sort of magic, you know, miracle deal. Yeah, it's much more likely to hit with one of those. It is.
You think you dropped the Rozier?
No, meaning like look at the last year, just people drafted in and around. You know, like as I said, is if you had right now, you know, how many different people did you miss by one that if you'd gotten them instead, you wouldn't be worried right now. You know, you're talking about Hero, you're talking about Anthony, you're talking about Maxi, Desmond Bane, all of these guys. Sadiq's cooled down a bit this year, but I know that's your guy. But what I'm saying is,
still mad. I'm still tired.
Every team can look around and be like, "I wish we had that guy." That happens every year. But there's still a chance you're going to hit one of those. There's going to be a star in the teens. There's going to be a star in the 20s. Celtics just haven't found them, so you got to keep taking swings at that.
You might have a chance at another one here potentially in Schroeder. You hope. I mean, I still look at moving Schroeder closer to the deadline if there's an offer that blows you away. I think you just got to choose one direction here. You can't sit in the middle like last year. You got to start to set yourself up for something down the line.
If a contender offers you a first for either Schroeder or Al because they think they're a Schroeder or Al away from winning a title and they're happy to give it, I don't care where you are, you do it in a heartbeat. I don't think you would do that I don't think Al would get that, but I'm saying anybody comes calling for
who knows?
Anybody can sell his market. For any of your veteran players because that's what they think they need to put them over the hump. Right, it's always a seller's market at the trade deadline. You do it if you're the Celtics. You don't even blink.
And it'll make you worse this year. Yeah, but you do it.
And it opens up some minutes for young guys, which will make people happy at some point. The thing is, they're just not going to fall to that level. We're floating at that 500 point again. They lose tomorrow, they're back to 500. They'll probably win a game after that out of the next two and stick at 500 at that point. So there's no onus in terms of the production or record. I mean, this has been the story of the postgame show for 2 years now, is just that up and down, up and down. And there's really no needle that points you in a buyer's direction, which they ended up doing last year, but not aggressively enough for it to really matter in Fournier, or a seller's direction, which arguably they should have done last year, maybe with certain guys. So, like, I don't know, but I do think, like, you just have to start to establish some sort of direction for yourself long term here, because the pieces that are in place for this team right now, you know, maybe Rob inches closer to all-star status, becomes more consistent, healthy,
that was
those
my
sort
hope.
Of things. But
that's always my
I don't know if that, like, bumps you up the East hierarchy, especially when you have a Chicago, Lillard potentially going to New York. Like, there are going to be things to happen in the East over the next year or two that bump you even further down the ladder if you're Boston potentially here. So I'd love to see something this year that at least starts to, like, point them in some sort of direction.
Well, what ends up happening is your two under 25 stars all of a sudden become over 25, and they're roughly the same player. And there are a lot of other people came into the league who are also really, really good. And now, from a talent perspective, you aren't sitting on this pile of, like, oh, we've got our young stars, we're totally fine. No, you've got two guys entering their prime with no supporting cast, and you have nothing around them. So you got to really be worried about draining the assets. You got to get premium talent, or you got to hold on to assets, right? You can't just.
And that's why I take a long look at Sabonis. Like, this is, does it make you a contender, a finals team today? No, but
it's not. But you know how many shots
things.
Yes and no, but how many shots are you getting? Again, people always are looking at the imperfections of the player. How many shots are you getting at an all-star caliber player at this age? Through free agency or through other trade opportunities? Not many. If you have a legit shot at acquiring Sabonis for less than Jaylen Brown, you have to think, you have to consider any and all offers.
And listen, I'm not going to say it because I'm just not. I'm not going to do it, but I'd be putting some picks on the table. I would. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But do they want the damn picks, Bobby?
Depends how many.
No,
rebuilding
I don't think
teams
it does.
Do not like picks in the teams. Right?
Unless we're talking OKC. I mean, that's like the only team is just doesn't.
Isn't that how every trade works, though? Like Harden, 20s picks from the Nets.
But Holiday, you do them. It's not 20s picks. It's not. The way you do it is you do them well into the future. So the Nets picks, the picks you gave up there were 2024, 2026. The first picks, the first pick swap is, the first pick swap is 24 on that Harden deal. The first.
Do you think about doing that if you're Boston, John?
Yeah, it's the same thing with the Jrue Holiday deal. Those are future deals because you're not grabbing late first rounders. You're doing what the Celtics did the first time around with KG and Pierce, which is into the future when you're going to be bad. And obviously the timing with the Celtics worked out there great. But you're not drafting, you don't want Milwaukee's pick next year or the, you know.
Again, I don't think you're in like win or die mode right now, but there is a little bit of urgency here. You know, like, what's your move going to be?
I mean, with that said, how do you guys feel about someone like Caris LeVert, if he was the centerpiece? Like, what would it take for the Celtics to trade for someone like that? Is that a gamble? Would you like
that's
that?
That's a buy-low guy for sure. It definitely is a buy-low guy,
know,
and it's your
I feel like that's the kind of weapon
and
this team could use, whether, you know, Dennis Schroeder is part of the future or not, you know? Just another guy who can put the ball on the floor, you know? He's tough to defend. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of size, but you put him alongside
I mean, that's
Tatum
definitely
Brown,
a guy you give up one pick
he could get,
for.
He could get his own, you know? He can create. Something's need guys like that.
That's definitely
Bobby wants to acquire. Bobby wants to acquire picks just so he can trade them.
I mean, that's what Danny wanted to do way back when, but he never traded them.
Traded them.
He never did. That's a good point, Josue. I'm so torn on him because he looked phenomenal in Brooklyn. He obviously had that medical condition a year ago that really threw him off, and
he
he's been
so
awful
good
ever
that.
Since.
Oh man, he was amazing before that.
I'd obviously buy low on him. I just don't know if they're selling him low. I think they're trying to sell him high here if they're going to do it at all. So probably not.
Yeah.
I mean,
but again, you do need that third wing.
You know they're going to sell, you know, Sabonis high, but
Man, yeah, I don't know. I do love the idea of that.
Depending on what the market says, maybe the Celtics can put something together there that, of course, doesn't involve Jalen or Jason.
Yeah. Let's put a bow on it. We're deep into the night. We're approaching 2 a.m. Eastern time.
2 a.m. over there, guys.
It's what we do, guys. And we're back tomorrow because F that. We don't sleep.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep right here, actually, guys. I'll be right here.
We don't sleep at CLNS. That's our motto. Okay?
No days off.
No days off. We do this every night. We do this every night. Last night was a breeze, Patriots. Off at 1:30. Tonight, we're pushing.
What was Boston Radio saying? Are they all in now?
It was a victory lap for sure.
It was pretty good. This was a great notch in a great feather in
Bill's cap. It's so hard to believe that happened. That was so crazy.
Aussie Phil, happy in Sydney right now. I love it.
Hey,
nice.
Good morning.
Nice. The Aussies always have these ones good.
Still early in California too.
Yeah.
I bet you didn't expect this score, dude.
Closing thoughts from the guys in LA before we let you guys go and dance around on the court and take pictures and all of that stuff.
Well, I was just going to say, this is a chance for them to get it right. You know, I at first, I didn't agree with Ime's decision to pull the plug as soon as he did, as early as he did. But I'm like, well, 5 minutes left. They're coming right back here tomorrow. You know what? I get it. You know, he obviously was disgusted with the effort and thought that, you know, from a couple of quotes that I read from after this one, you could see his intention or his anger, rather, and they deserve that. But, of course, I think they respond well tomorrow, and I think that's what sort of led to that decision. It was like, look, I'm just going to set with you guys. You know, I'm going to wave the white flag. We're going to get this right the next game. And, you know, otherwise, everything we were saying up to this point, you know, is like, what happened to that? You know, and especially in that first quarter. Tatum, 2-14 helps, but I just thought overall it was a group effort on defense. And Robert Williams was in there. Robert Williams showing flashes of the good old days. You know, I thought of John. I was like, oh, shit, John's going to love this one. And then, you know, you come up flat. But again, I just thought offensively they just didn't have enough weapons, or they just ran dry.
Yeah, this was clearly a game where there were ample opportunities for them to make it way more closer than it was, and they just didn't get it done. Bottom line, at the end of the day, they just sucked. This was a bad game. Clippers, I agree with you, Joseph. I think they will be better against the Clippers, but, man, I mean, it's kind of a bummer, though, because, again – it didn't feel as though like the Lakers were really executing at a high level. They just did enough to win, and the Celtics, did enough to allow themselves to not win.
I thought this game was more about the Lakers than the Celtics, in my mind. Like, I think if you're watching this as a Lakers fan, this is like, oh, geez, we saved the season. Thank God. And that's kind of how the Lakers played in this one. You're about to fall to 12-13 if you're them. Well past the 20 game mark here. There was a real urgency to the way they were playing that Boston just didn't match there. And maybe they should have, but after two games where you're flying high and you're spilling over on the bench in Portland and you just get to LA, I can imagine falling a little short there. But like Josue said, you got to win tomorrow. You're better than the Clippers, I think. It's close.
Yeah, you know, it's again, there's no ticks are so clearly better than that they just win by showing up. So we'll see.
No, for sure. I'm just saying that
everything was bad. Shooting was bad. Transition defense was bad. Got the boards, got beat up in the paint. Second chance.
We're
buckets,
missing Brown now, right? Bring him back.
No secondary scoring. They lost every battle. They lost almost every category across the board. In just bad game tonight. So toss it tomorrow. The gang obviously remains in LA. So we'll have stuff from, Sherrod, Josue, and somewhere behind the scenes, Nick is there. Nick is lurking. Yeah. He's lurking.
I had to calm him down a bit, but he'll be ready to go for our segments.
Yeah, he's back there. So you guys hit the court, do your more stuff coming up on our YouTube channel, post-game reaction from the team and also from Josue and Nick and the guys out there. So make sure you subscribe and check that out. Until then, we're back tomorrow. Same cast of characters. No Jimmy. It's in his contract. So there's nothing we can do about that.
Back-to-back nights?
Can't do it. He doesn't do West Coast. You know,
load management for Jimmy. Yes. Load management. That's just load management for Jimmy.
It throws off his sleep pattern. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us on a late night. We're back tomorrow. Come back, join us. Tell all your friends, Australia. You guys are always with us. So we love that.